You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and I am joined by Harrison Fagan. He is getting another streak underway. Harrison, what do you think this streak gets to before your next spa day?
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to call my shot. I don't know. It's tough to say because we got the holidays coming up next week. I'm going to go three.
Setting your sights high, huh? I was like, you know, maybe we'll get to double digits. Maybe
you know, with all the stuff that I do behind the scenes, you can't expect me to like be on every show. You know, it's like there's such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Uh huh. Sure. It's not like you're paid to do this. Anywho,
who are we to say what payment really is?
I'm joined by Kyrie Irving today. today's show, we're going to talk about Julius Randle because we started the conversation last night. It's extended into some of what's gone on today. Harrison and I have our own theories for what might be going on, what happened last night specifically, whatever. So we're going to spend a ton of time talking about Julius Randle and what might, if there's anything further going on beyond, hey, the rotation just didn't work out, right? So we're going to talk about that for probably the first two segments, and then on the back end of the show, because there will be some criticism in the first two segments, on the back end of the show, we're going to lighten things up, and we are going to talk about or send you into the holidays with whether or not the Lakers could creep back into playoff contention. Yes, playoff contention after their next month or so of games. Their schedule is significantly lighter than it's been in recent weeks. They've kind of gotten through that. I wouldn't say unscathed because Brook Lopez's ankle is not quite attached the way it should be. But I will say they got through it better than most probably predicted. And it positions them fairly well to continue to maintain a spot in the playoff conversation as this season rolls along. So a lot of fun stuff to come in this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders, where Harrison and I both write respectively. Let's get started, though. Harrison, do you think there's any scenario here where it's just as innocent as the Lakers it's a tough rotation to figure out, and Julius Randle just finds himself as the short end of the stick here?
So I don't want to, I think you've been a little bit more like shot happy to like just dismiss that out of hand. I don't know if I'm mischaracterizing your words. I think you've been a little bit more happy than like I have to just like kind of immediately dismiss that argument. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, listening to Luke talk about his decision last night after the game, I kind of understand in a microcosm against Houston why this happened. Luke even said he was only planning on playing Bogut a couple of minutes, and then that lineup was just rolling, so he left him out there longer. And so Randle probably would have gotten in a little bit earlier. He would have gotten some more minutes. Now, I think he only got, what did he end up getting, like 8 minutes?
Eight.
Yeah, eight. Like, that's obviously way, way too low for a guy of Randle's caliber who, like, as we've discussed, he still, even after he was not good last night, his ratings took a hit, but the Lakers are still at just zero. They're, like, even with their opponents per 100 possessions with Randle on the floor. He's the only guy that's part of the rotation that isn't a negative. And so you know, obviously in a vacuum, he should be getting more minutes. I think in this case, I think a little bit of it at least was happenstance. Now, the other side of that argument was there is absolutely zero happenstance that would have led to like Lonzo Ball playing 8 minutes in a game. And same thing with like apparently Larry Nance Jr., who just is going to play like a lot seemingly no matter what, or at least like a decent amount of minutes no matter what. And so I think that we can say some of it is due to circumstances and that some of it is due to just like randomness and factors beyond Randall's control. But I think the other part of it is that, and you discussed this on the pod last night, he wasn't very good. It definitely wasn't his best game. But I also think Luke just has a shorter leash with him because other guys, when they're not having their best games, like Lonzo, and it's not the exact same thing because Lonzo's obviously looks like he's going to be a bigger factor in the Lakers' future than Randall does. But
Nance,
a lot of these guys, Nance, and like even Bogut in some games earlier this year, and like guys like that, they're given this leash to figure out and work through their mistakes that Randall just isn't given for whatever reason.
Yeah, that last part there, that for whatever reason, is something that just continues to stick with me. And the way I've put it on other podcasts that I've gone on and on this one and on Twitter and when people ask me about it, friends and family ask me about, hey, like, what's going on here with Randall? He looks like he's our best player and yet he isn't getting minutes. The way I'm a cynic by nature. And if something is so obviously fixable, so easily fixable, just find the guy minutes. And if there are ways to find this guy minutes and they continue to not be exercised as options, well, then you kind of start looking elsewhere, right? You have to, the way my brain works and the way a lot of people's brain works in this industry is, well, you got to start, all right, what else might be going on? And look, the front office has made no secret about what their intentions are as this season comes to a close and as this upcoming offseason draws nearer. Their intentions are we have to open up as much cap space as we can so that we can sign two max guys, one at the very least. And they've gone so far as to talk about it as if it's already happened. Right, so if
they're trying to speak it into existence, or, you know, hey, they're
it's worked
them
for
and LeVar Ball, then maybe they aren't so different after all.
It's worked for Lonzo's dad, but so far it forces you to start looking at, all right, well, what are the ways that they can open up that type of space? And the obvious candidates beyond Luol Deng, because of his deal and because how hard it looks like it's going to be to move that deal, you start looking at the Jordan Clarksons and you look at the Julius Randles. And with both of those guys, those trends that you were talking about with Julius Randle, right? With Julius Randle, it looks like it takes a lot more for him to convince Luke Walton to either figure things out and work things through on the court or just to remain on the court even when he's playing well. Jordan Clarkson has that same kind of thing going on. So it starts to lead you to believe, okay, what else might be going on either behind the scenes?
The front office and the coaching staff are kind of in lockstep, maybe.
It might be. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that might mean, if that's the right way to handle this situation. We're going to talk about that here in a second after we pay a couple bills here. We want to talk to you about mybookie.ag. The holiday season is upon us and you're looking for ways to make some extra money and afford to buy everybody gifts. Good thing for everybody is that bowl season is here and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Do you know what Bitcoin is? I have no effing idea what anybody is talking about with that stuff.
It's cryptocurrency and it's virtual money, essentially.
Okay. I'm old. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make more money betting on bowl games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site we'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all the season and the bowl games. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use the promo code LOLAKERS to activate this offer. Go to mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. All right, so we left off at what else might be going on in regards to the front office, in regards to are there walking orders that Luke Walton is supposed to be following, or is this just a Luke Walton choice? If you had to pick one way or the other, and it's probably a combination of both, but if you had to lean one way or the other, which way would you lean?
If I had to lean one way or the other, I think I'd say it's more Luke than the front office, but I think the split is probably closer to 50-50 than people might think. I mean, the realities are very clear that Randall and Clarkson, to fulfill this grand plan that you just mentioned and you just outlined of signing two max free agents and speaking that into existence, they cannot be on the team if the Lakers want to maximize their cap space. Those two guys are going to be gone, and that's reflected in a like interesting tidbit that as of the Houston game, Clarkson and Randall have played the exact same amount of minutes this season, 648, and there are four guys with more minutes than that. It's Caldwell Pope, Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram. Caldwell Pope obviously probably doesn't factor in as a part of the Lakers' future unless they totally whiff this summer, and so that's like the darkest timeline. It's like re-signing Caldwell Pope and Lopez. But I think because of his stature as like having the same agent as LeBron James, and that's where you're probably seeing maybe a little bit of the front office influence there, and also just that he is the highest stature shooting guard on the roster, although Hart has been very good and deserves to maybe start to creep in and take some of those minutes. But then you look at the three guys ahead of them, Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram, and those guys are all firmly a part of the Lakers' future, and they aren't always perfect while they're out on the floor. Those guys probably make as many mistakes as anyone, but they are given the freedom to play through that because the Lakers, I think, know, and I think Luke Walton is more than aware, that it is in his long-term best interest for those guys to work through their mistakes and become good players. Whereas for Randall and Clarkson, there's a little bit more of a transactional nature to their minutes, where when those guys come in, if they aren't doing something right off the bat, then they aren't really a benefit to Walton. And even sometimes if they are doing something, they aren't really a benefit because you want to put those other guys that are going to be part of the future back in and give them a chance to work through those mistakes. That's kind of how I'd look at it.
So I think everything – I don't think either of us have said anything that anybody could really necessarily disagree with. Right.
We're theorizing on who knows if maybe it's 100% Matt Johnson and Palinka telling Walton like how to use minute. We don't know for a fact. Like that's not what they've said ever. And it sounds like Luke has more autonomy than that. But who knows? It could be.
I mean, that the reason I would say I would probably lean the opposite direction that you're leaning is that Magic has this experience with the Dodgers already. Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi both play a role in helping Dave Roberts make educated decisions, right? Now, that's more of like a day-to-day, which lineups statistically fare better against a certain pitcher, where maybe to position your infield or outfield, how to pitch certain batters. It's just attaining information, relaying it to the coach, or in this case, the manager, and having everybody working together on the day-to-day operations of running a successful organization. This is more of a long-term situation, and I'm sure the same kind of stuff goes on with the Dodgers, by the way. If they're saying, like last year, they had Cody Bellinger come up, and he lit the world on fire, and eventually, as we saw this past offseason, Adrian Gonzalez was a Brave for about 15 minutes, and then they DFA'd him. But you have to wonder if Adrian Gonzalez was really available, or if Farhan Zaidi and Andrew Friedman maybe said, hey, look, Bellinger is just about as good, if not better, than Gonzalez anyway, and he's part of our future. We really need to feature him as this season rolls along. And that's kind of what I think might be going on here, is there a huge gap between say, Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr.? Yes.
It would appear so.
Yes, there is. Is there a huge gap between Jordan Clarkson and Josh Hart? Maybe.
Depends on the night.
It's not as obvious as the one between Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. But maybe Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and Luke Walton have all kind of gotten together and said, all right, well, we got to see if we can either make up for the gap that there is between Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle elsewhere, maybe a few minutes with Kuzma and Nance, because Kuzma tends to have an effect on everybody, a positive effect on everybody offensively, probably not defensively, but offensively. Or should we surround Nance with other players who might close that gap with him and Randle, just so that we can have this to build, we learn to lean on Nance as we try to wean ourselves from leaning on Julius Randle. There's a lot of leaning going on in this podcast, but you're trying to gradually take Randle maybe out of the rotation, because that's the plan anyway, as this guy finds his way to another team, either by free agency this upcoming offseason or via trade before this trade deadline in February. And my one concern heading into this year, or as Randle showed himself to be the player that he currently is, my one concern is, well, it would have been nice to see a little bit more flexibility as new information is presented. As you find out that Julius Randle is this defensive dynamo that he's shown himself to be, maybe come off of your stance that you absolutely have to trade this guy in order to open up cap space, especially if it means doing so before you absolutely necessarily have to. Because if it really comes down to it, maybe sign and trade him in the offseason. But trading him away or sending him away before you necessarily have to, we already saw the effects that's had with on the fan base with the D'Angelo Russell trade. And go ahead, I roll your eyes because I mentioned
the
trade.
Take again. A drink, unless you're listening to this behind the wheel. Anthony mentioned D'Angelo.
but we saw the effects that had on the fan base and on the team, too, in terms of team quality. That is going to be the same, but probably to a higher extent, seeing as Julius Randle right now is a better player than D'Angelo Russell was at the time of the trade, or probably even that D'Angelo
at the same time,
currently
though,
is.
I don't know that he's necessarily more beloved, so I don't know that there's still a lot of fans that are very down on Julius Randle because his game is not particularly pretty, and he also doesn't do like the energy guy type things that make fans like love guys. And I don't think that a lot of people, like, obviously, like, I don't want to talk down to anyone. Like, most of the listeners of this podcast, I'm sure, like, have an understanding of defense at the NBA level, or, like, you know, like a deeper understanding of basketball a little bit than, like, your average fan. But most average fans, like, don't analyze basketball the same way that, like, we do, and don't, like, look at defense the same way that we do. And a lot of it is just like, I know this from talking to casual fans, like, it's just box score watching, and that's fine if that's how you enjoy the game and that's how you keep up with the NBA. Like, that's everyone's right. It's everyone's right to enjoy basketball as they want. But I wanted to get back a little bit to the stuff that you were talking about as far as like Kuzma and Nance. And you mentioned like you thought that Kuzma made everyone better, at least offensively. The Lakers are never worse offensively than when Kuzma is on the bench. And like the numbers bear that out, like they're scoring 97.2 per 100 with Kuzma on the bench, which is the worst on the team. But then the difference, so Kuzma's got to be in there for developmental reasons and just because he helps the Lakers.
He's freaking good.
Yeah, and he's really freaking good, and he's going to continue to be really freaking good, as we saw in the 38-point game. But the difference with Nance is, like, I see the argument, yeah, with on a better team, he'd be a better piece, and he'd be able to do, like, kind of Nance things, and it wouldn't be as glaring what his weaknesses are. But right now, his weaknesses are not just glaring, they're, like, exploding obvious. Like, they are just flying off of the screen and off of the numbers, like, of guys to play more than 300 minutes, nobody has a worse net rating than Larry Nance Jr. And some of that is that he plays a lot of his minutes with the starters, who haven't been that great, but the Lakers are just better when Randle is on the floor and Nance is not. And that's like kind of borne out in that, like, their best lineup is like Randle at center, Kuzma at forward, Ingram, Caldwell Pope, and Ball And that lineup is outscoring opponents by 15.8 points per 100 possessions. That's in the 83rd percentile in the entire NBA. And they're locking teams up on defense. They're like in the 87th percentile for points per possession, 90th for effective field goal percentage. Like, they are like slaughtering teams. And that lineup just hasn't been getting that much run, and so maybe some of that is small sample size, but it's just the latest example that when Randle plays center, the Lakers are better, and for whatever reason, they seem to be straying away from that lineup at times.
Yep. I want to keep talking about that stuff, because you mentioned what might be going on with Nance and why his numbers aren't as positive because he spends so much time with the starters. Well, there's an easy solution to that. We're going to get to that here in a second. So, Harrison, you have a player whose net rating is not great, and the theory behind it, or one of the theories behind it, is, well, he's playing too many minutes with the starters. Isn't a simple solution to have him play fewer minutes with the starters? Like, it's right there.
Well, hey, so they started that against Houston. So we'll see if it works and if his metrics start to trend back up a little bit. I have my doubts that they do, because I just don't think that this is a team that is set up to maximize Larry Nance Jr.
I would agree. And look, here's the
other
thing.
And some of that's not his fault. Nance is a fine player, and I think that he'd be better on a better team. Yeah. And that's true. And it's disingenuous, because that's true for most guys. But his game specifically, he needs people to leech off of. And when he can be like a super helpful, healthy leech, like that they used to use in like Renaissance times to get rid of poison and stuff. But like that's where Nance is right now. And right now he's just a leech and just like sucking out your blood, and otherwise you'd be fine.
My again, it gets back
that
to what I was
the weirdest analogy I have made on this podcast.
That's why I try to move away from it as quickly as possible. You have Larry Nance Jr. giving everybody hickeys. But that was what I was getting at in the last segment, right? Where, look, there is new information present. Julius Randle's game has expanded in ways that I don't think anybody really predicted. And Larry Nance Jr.'s game has kind of been stuck in neutral since he came to the league. And really what it gets down to is you have to ask yourself, all right, what takes priority here? The chance at signing a superstar free agent, or keeping and maintaining this young core that seems really exciting? Like, it's starting to gain more of a foothold, this drum that I've been beating, that the Lakers young core isn't that far behind the Philadelphia 76ers young core. Like, I'm looking at the talent that the Lakers potentially have, and if things continue to go sideways in Oklahoma City, and that scenario that a lot of people have asked about is it doesn't make more sense for the Lakers to just target Paul George and see what he can add to this young core? Well, that's becoming a little bit more realistic, so long as Oklahoma City keeps tripping over itself and Russell Westbrook keeps shooting bad, nasty looks at Paul George anytime the latter shoots the ball.
Well, so, sure, it makes more sense for the Lakers, but I still don't think that it necessarily makes more sense for Paul George. I think maybe he still is going to want like another superstar type player.
Probably. Sure. I mean, obviously he would want, but the but you have to ask yourself, all right, what is the more sustainable form of to building a team? Is it spending a ton of money on a superstar and on that superstar's prior production and hoping that that maintains over the course of the contract that they sign whichever big superstar they sign to? If it's Paul George, if it's Paul George and LeBron, if it's Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins, what have you? Or is it more sustainable to invest in what you hope becomes that stretch of career that you're going to be paying retroactively those superstars for having? So if in Julius Randle's case, it's his next contract. You got to ask yourself, all right, what would be the better investment here? Julius Randle over the next 4 years, or paying a higher rate because of the last 10 years that DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George or whomever have actually put together, compared to what the Lakers are looking to do in the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years? And look, that's a tough question to ask.
No, it's not. It's George, LeBron, or Cousins, like, hands down. You don't let Randall keep you from signing one of those guys if you can.
But
I'm sorry.
I'm not saying keeping you from signing them. I'm saying keeping you from the chance at signing them. There's no guarantee that you sign them. And that's why it would be a mistake to trade away Randall before the season ends.
I'm not panicking about this because those dominoes are going to fall a long time before Randall gets a big offer sheet, most likely. And so the Lakers are going to probably know whether or not they have Randall they aren't going to have to figure that out most likely until they figure out if they're getting one of those superstars.
Okay, but
I don't think. Now, there's always a chance that a team rushes in and is like, hey, we're going to screw the Lakers and offer Randall the max. Let's see if they match it and tie up their cap space. Or they just have to renounce him if they want to keep him. But, like, there's a chance. It only takes one jerk, you know, to ruin that planning. But as of right now, they can kind of afford to wait this out, which is why I don't see it as big of a problem unless they move him preemptively. Then it's kind of like, okay, well, now you have to sign someone, but which they kind of do anyway. But I don't think that they're going to need to figure out what to do with Randall until they figured out if they're getting these guys yet.
Well, but that's what kind of irks me about the way that they're managing Randall. Like, doesn't those two things, the two points that you're making can't necessarily go hand in hand, right?
Well, for the most part, they do. Lakers, huh?
Well, If you're saying that the Lakers don't have to make their decision quite yet on Julius Randle, then why does it seem like Luke Walton is yanking him around as if that decision has already been made? Like, those two points fly in the face of each other. Because
I don't think that Walton yanking him around necessarily means that the decision's been made. I think on some level they can see behind the scenes what they have in Randle. They can see out on the court in the limited minutes that they're giving him what they have in Randle. But he doesn't necessarily factor in to their long-term plans. And so they're prioritizing the guys that are more likely to factor into their long-term plans. Not guaranteed to factor more into their long-term plans, just more likely. And so they're, I think, hoping that they can sign one of these guys. But if they can't, I don't think that necessarily means that they hate Randall and that they wouldn't re-sign him.
Well, but they might be heading to a situation where Randall hates them.
It's possible.
I mean,
I have my doubts that if they offered him an slightly above market or a fair market deal, that he wouldn't re-sign to stay in LA. But, you know,
we
said the same thing about Dwight, so who knows?
But that's kind of the issue with the way that they've been treating him so far. Like, it gets back to, and maybe you aren't as cynical by nature as I am, and maybe you aren't as willing to jump and connect the dots that I am. But I just find it weird.
I think cynical is the wrong word because I am probably the biggest cynic on the planet. But I think I'm less reactionary than you.
Well, yeah, but so then what? As you're watching Julius Randle be the Lakers, statistically, their best player, as you're watching that take place, and as you're watching this guy grow, and like last night was a bad example because he was sulking. And frankly, I don't necessarily blame him for sulking. He's coming off of...
No, that's human nature. That's going to happen. Like, everybody says that they wouldn't sulk in that situation until it happens to them. Like, if you were at your job and you were outperforming every single other person, but then your boss kept promoting other people, like, you'd be pissed too. You'd start to check out. Like, right. That's human nature.
And so if you're saying that maybe the Lakers are watching behind the scenes and they can see firsthand what they have with Julius Randle and what they might have moving forward with Julius Randle. But if what they're watching, like, a huge aspect of their jobs is understanding talent, right? Like, understanding what you have, and if what they're looking at is if they have Julius Randle in practice and in these games, and they have Larry Nance Jr. in practice and in these games, and in any situation or scenario or line of thinking, they come to the conclusion of, you know what, Larry Nance Jr. just makes a little bit more sense for this team. I'm sorry, man, but you might suck at your job.
Like, they could be terrible. They might not. They might have no idea what they're doing.
They
might be that meme of the dog sitting at a science kit, just saying, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Larry Nance Jr. blows his like fifth layup and under with contact.
But he did it with grit, Anthony, is what you don't understand, is he did it with grit.
That's a good point. All right, that's enough criticizing. That's enough tinfoil hat stuff. I'm sure the response to my points here are going to be fully formulated and completely decent, and nobody will call me a nut job at all. But I do want to get to this upcoming schedule that the Lakers have, because I do think, look, we're sending everybody off into, if you celebrate Christmas, we're sending everybody off into the Christmas weekend, and I want to do so by honest to God thinking to myself that the Lakers can sneak back into contention here over, so their next game is Friday, December 22nd. They play against the Golden State Warriors at Golden State. Steph Curry once again will play, though it sounds like Draymond Green probably will. I believe Sean Livingston is also unavailable for Golden State.
I'm writing the preview right now, and it looks like Livingston's probably not going to play. Curry didn't practice today, and Green, they were saying, was most likely going to be back. They also said that Pachulia was like a game time decision, it sounded like, and so they're still dealing with their own injury woes, but they still have Kevin Durant. So
they still do have Kevin Durant, and he was kind of important in that last game.
Him and Ingram, those battles between them have been fun to watch. I'm excited to watch that again tonight. And now that I said this, Ingram's going to go like 1 of 9.
According to one writer, it was like watching Kobe play against Kobe. So take that.
Who said that?
I'm not gonna name names. Okay. I'm not gonna go there.
That sounds like a compliment.
Huh?
That sounds like a compliment. It was, your tone implied that it was an insult.
I find the whole cult of Kobe kind of annoying, frankly.
Well, so what I think that you're missing is that Brandon Ingram was displaying Mamba mentality, and so was Kevin Durant.
It was Mamba juice that they had bottled up, and Luke Walton can access anytime.
It was Mamba blood.
Yeah, Mamba blood. Oof, that's even worse. Mamba.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
Anyway,
before we get into the actual schedule, as it currently sits right now, the Lakers are 11-18. They are 4 games behind the New Orleans Pelicans, 2 games behind in the loss column. The Pelicans are at 15-16. The Lakers are at 11-18. Between them and New Orleans sit the Clippers and Utah Jazz. Basically, the bottom half of the Western Conference has been pretty disappointing. It's been just a whole bunch of mediocrity to bad basketball. And the Lakers have gone through this tough stretch. And the fact that they are only 2 games back in the last column with some of these teams is an attribute to, holy cow, they actually pulled through that stretch. So I'll let you take us through their upcoming schedule. We'll go through the end of December, and then we'll talk about January after that.
Yeah, so the Lakers are going to play Golden State tonight, which obviously that's a tough one. But then after that, the Blazers, who have been like, you know, up and down. Minnesota, kind of disappointing, I think, relative to what people expected, but still a playoff team and still pretty good. Memphis, the Clippers, and then like they play the Rockets again. So it's not an easy slate, but they should have some chances in there to get some wins. And then that kind of carries them through into a January that will be a bit lighter.
So I would hope, do you think over the stretch of what's left of December, do you think they can go 500? They have 6 games. 2 of them are against Golden State and Houston. Do you think they can go?
I'd say probably like 2-4, but that's because I'm a cynic.
Yeah, pessimistic. I think a pessimist is more cynical would not necessarily be the same thing. All right, let's look at January then. To open January, they go Minnesota. They're at Minnesota, and that's a back-to-back. And that's the other thing to factor in here with some of these is that so they go back-to-back. They go at Golden State and then versus Portland. So that Portland game takes on a little bit more difficulty there. So then on the Minnesota game, they do that after they play Houston. So what they'll have to do is just really quickly blow out Houston so that they can save some rest for Minnesota the following day. And definitely not party, because that's definitely not what 20-something-year-old millionaires would want to do on New Year's Eve.
No, definitely not.
And then they go they have a nice stretch at home against Oklahoma City, Charlotte, Atlanta, Sacramento, and San Antonio. That stretch in between Sacramento and San Antonio. That's roughly when they're supposed to get Brook Lopez back, though I'm not necessarily convinced that's a good thing. After San Antonio,
he's been a net positive for the Lakers. Like, not net rating, but like as far as guys on the team, Lopez is not their problem.
No, I don't think so. I just dislike watching him play. Then they hit the road for a quick 3-game trip against Dallas, Memphis, and at Oklahoma City. And they come home and they play Indiana, they play New York, they play Boston. That'll be a fun one on January 23rd. And then they finish the month out on the road when they take on Chicago, Toronto, and Orlando. It's just a whole bunch of games that I think, like, it wouldn't
they'll have a, it's a lot of coin flip games.
Yeah, it's which is ironic, seeing as that's how I do my previews every year. But the Lakers, when I'm looking at the schedule right here, I think the goal should be slightly above 500 basketball, because that gets you back into that stretch, depending on what the other teams in those 8 to 10 spots do. So if the Lakers can go, if they can stay slightly above 500 basketball, they can remain in the conversation. And if I would have told you heading into February, as you get closer to the trade deadline, if I was to tell you at the beginning of the season that we would get all the way to February and the Lakers would still be in the playoff discussion. And by the way, February doesn't necessarily get a ton more difficult. So if I would have told you at the beginning
December was their toughest month. So yeah. The fact that they made it through all right is, like, I mean, if you would have told me that before the season, I would have said you're insane. But the fact that they've been, like, okay until now and they're still kind of in the playoff race makes me think, you know, maybe they're going to hang around in this. But I still would not. If I was going to my bookie, I would still not bet on them making the playoffs, although I could never do that because I'm a credentialed journalist, so to be clear.
I don't know if I would bet on them to make the playoffs, but I don't know if I would leave the bet alone, is what I would say. And that's saying something, because usually you say, all right, you bet against the Lakers making the playoffs. You'd
have a strong conviction one way or the other.
Yeah, but it's crazy to me that we are this deep into the season and we are looking ahead this deep into the season and saying to ourselves, all right, these guys might actually have something figured out. And for everything that we just talked about with Julius Randle and Luke Walton and the organization and this and that and the other, they deserve a ton of credit for getting this team to buy in the way that they have and to get through the stretch that they just did and still remain in this conversation. Nobody would have seen this coming. And shouts to everybody, whether it's Lonzo Ball playing through the insane criticism that he gets, whether it's Julius Randle playing through the way his minutes have been yanked around, whether it's Kyle Kuzma lowering himself and allowing himself to play amongst mere mortals and help carry the team the way that he has. You can go through the entire roster, and all these guys have done a lot to be able to put themselves in this situation. And as we get ready for, if you celebrate Christmas or whatever you might be celebrating, I'm going to be kind of thankful for what I've watched from the team that I happen to root for. It's been a fun season.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a fun season to cover, and it's been an interesting season to cover. And the Lakers have shown a lot of growth, especially on defense. And if they can maintain that, and defense is more kind of transferable, I think, year to year than offense is necessarily, and then I think, you know, like, if they're showing this much while they're still young, then the future is bright.
Just to compare.
If you try to get me to compare the Sixers to the Lakers again, Anthony, I'm going to hang up.
I'm not going to do that. But look, the Minnesota Timberwolves signed Jimmy Butler. They have a more experienced head coach in Tom Thibodeau. They have one of those young cores that everybody was saying was so much further ahead than the Lakers. And yet you look at that team and you look at what they've done defensively, and it's been kind of a disappointment, right? And whereas you look at what the Lakers have been able to do with what was seen as a lesser core, they don't have anybody on their roster nearly as good as Jimmy Butler. They probably don't necessarily have anybody as good, nearly as good as Karl Anthony Towns. And then Andrew Wiggins is kind of overrated in my opinion. But you look at those two teams and where they currently sit, I feel pretty happy sitting on here on December 21st. This episode airs on December 22nd. I'm sitting here pretty happy about the Lakers' chances at least competing with like Minnesota for the next few years as the two teams and two organizations try to figure themselves out. I feel pretty good about the direction of this entire thing. There are just a couple things that I would maybe tweak in direction as the years go along. So that's a fun episode, fun season thus far. I want to, from the bottom of my heart, wish everybody who is celebrating Christmas a very Merry Christmas. If you celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah to that. If it's Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, happy holidays to you. Make sure you guys are, if you're traveling, make sure to do so safely. If you're traveling and your family, you notice your family isn't listening to anything, try to convert them into Lakers fans and Locked On Lakers fans.
Actually, I'm going to steal a trick from Pardon My Takes book, and I'm going to tell you, over the holidays, go on your family's phones and mm-hmm. subscribe them to Locked On Lakers. Mm-hmm. Just set auto-download all episodes. That can be your Christmas gift to us, because we really appreciate you guys. And I know that my year has been made actively better by this podcast and by getting to do it with Anthony and being able to be compensated for putting in all the time that we put in. And like, there's nobody that I'd rather co-host a show with, and I'm always appreciative to our listeners. It's always great interacting with you guys. It's still crazy to me that people listen to us and pay attention to just kind of our ramblings, and we just really, really appreciate you guys for it. So that happy holidays from Anthony to everyone is from me as well.
Like Harrison was saying, if you have enough time, if your family member steps away from their phone or computer from long enough, leave one of those reviews too. Like,
leave a review from them too. Get an extra question in from them. Also, again, subscribe their phone or their computer to the show, set auto download all episodes, and leave them a nice little Merry Christmas gift.
Yep, we will figure out if we have
nothing says Merry Christmas like Anthony randomly popping up in your ear to complain about D'Angelo Russell.
The lack thereof. I don't complain about D'Angelo Russell. I complain about the lack of D'Angelo Russell.
You complain about too little D'Lo.
Exactly. Maybe over the holiday weekend, either Harrison or I will record a quick, you know, kind of holiday mailbag, a Santa's mailbag. Santony? Yeah, that's what my Twitter thing says. So Santony's mailbag. If you guys want to get your questions in, make sure you do so with a 5-star iTunes review. Get your question in there, and I'll try to answer it over the holiday weekend, either on a Facebook Live on Lakers Outsiders, where you can find all of my writing, or Harrison will do so. And make sure you're looking for his writing on Lakers Nation. I don't know if you heard of them. They're I guess kind of a big deal.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I guess. But
we're like the Lakers of blogs, basically.
Oh, you're all highly overpaid and...
No, just historically successful.
Insanely short-sighted. All of those good things?
Just, we're like the Showtime Lakers of blogs.
So you're like the Mozgov of that situation over there.
No, not on the Showtime. Come on, man. Like, get with it. I'm like Vladdy or something.
Vladdy wasn't Showtime. That...
I came on late.
You're like Kurt Rambis. Actually, you could be Michael Thompson. You could be Michael Thompson.
That'll work. I'll take that. I'll be Michael Thompson.
Yeah, there you go. That's the happiest comparison I think you'll ever get.
I was born in 1991, man. I don't know who was on what team.
I was 5 years older than you. Anywho.
It's not like that's my job.
Happy holidays, everybody. Please stay safe. Please stay safe. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll be back at it again either on Monday or Tuesday or whenever we feel like recording.
I'm not recording on Christmas or Christmas Eve.